Blog Check. Talk Radio.
Dedicate our lives to this sport. We give, we do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We you know, we attitude. We moody, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
Fans, the College Ball Show is back, and we're here to discuss everything that is college football. My co-host cannot be with me today. He's got a little family visit from the Madre. He actually moved to Texas not too long ago, as you know, and she's down there visiting. So, of course, you know, we can't take away from the family time. But I'm here, and I'm here to discuss college football. Now, obviously, you know, heading into last week, what was it, seven different unbeaten teams in the FBS going on the road, right? And, of course, you know, going on the road, it's a tough time to play. It's a, you know, tough time for the pros, even pro basketball. But college basketball and college football, specifically college football, because you only get 12 during the regular season, it's tough. I mean, let's not, you know, mix words here. It's very tough. And I keep saying over and over again, no matter what you like pro football, most people do, right? It's the most popular sport here in America, college football regular season. If you think about that regular season and you compare it to the NBA or NHL or college basketball, whatever, any team sport, it's not even close. The college football regular season continues over and over and over again to deliver. It is the best regular season. Now, we can debate, even though it's improved the last couple of years with, you know, the championship ranking system where you have four and you have semifinals. And so far, they've gotten that part right. Of course, you can make a debate for that first year, right, with Baylor and TCU. But either way, I'm talking about the regular season. So many different things can happen. We're talking about college kids, 18, 19, 20, 21. I mean, the pro kickers lately have had all sorts of fits trying to kick short field goals, let alone 40 and 50-yard field goals. We know what that means in college football. It's pretty ridiculous, some of the kicks that are made or just blatantly miss, where you're like, what the hell's wrong with this kid? Anything can happen. And if you look at, you know, pro football compared to college football, excuse me, not just the way the game is called by the referees and played, but the arenas. Now, arenas, here I am saying arenas, right? Stadiums. Now, you have Lambeau Field, right? You have a huge Cowboy Stadium. What is it, AT&T Stadium? You have a lot of, you know, great venues. The new stadium that Minnesota just put in. It's indoor, but it feels like outdoor. The place goes nuts. Obviously, an NFL game can get really loud, but nothing compares to the 80, 90, 100,000. What are there, like six or seven stadiums now that have over 100,000 in attendance? You mix in the young people, right? The student section, we see that in college basketball as well. Just, you know, usually that's only 10 or 12 or 18,000. But college football, you just can't beat the atmosphere, man. And once again, week 9, as we recap, and this will just be a recap show later in the week, Thursday, we'll be doing the prediction segments. And also, you know, coming up tomorrow, we finally have the first ranking, the first college football playoff ranking of the season. And I'm so glad that they delay it. You know, the BCS started to delay it as the year went on, and in the years went on, they started, you know, pushing it back even further. And I love that we wait till November, because there's really no reason to go off preseason rankings. As we know, you know, time and time again, every year, this team's, you know, all set here, or an injury, you know, sometimes a team is great, but an injury takes place. Either way, that's coming up, so we'll have plenty to debate. A lot of times they do a top four and maybe five or six more. You know, every time that the first one comes out, the first ranking, you'll see at the end of the year, even though it'd be 5 weeks at that time, or what is it, 5 weeks of the regular season, and then the bowl championship games, or not the bowl, but the conference championship games. Either way, you always see someone in that top four, two, three teams, they don't end up there. And we've seen Ohio State, we've seen other teams really low, 15th, 14th, 12th, and they skyrocket up. So we'll definitely have a lot to talk about Thursday, but let's focus on recap and what a week it was. Like I mentioned, seven undefeated teams hit the road in week nine. Clemson and Washington passed their test, and they got a test. I mean, we'll get into the details, but both of those games were just fun to watch, entertaining, and highly skilled, you know, as well. It wasn't just a score fest like we sometimes get in the Pac-12, in the Big 12. Obviously, the Big 12 definitely more. This one was in the Pac-12 with Washington and Utah. But the other teams, the ones that we didn't quite know all about, Nebraska, West Virginia, Baylor, all unbeaten heading into Week 9, but all had to face the road, and they fell. They fell victim to it. So, you know, Wisconsin, Oklahoma State, and Texas definitely got some big wins there. Wisconsin, you know, of course, it was they were favored. But let's start right away with Texas, because Texas, as we know, it's been a very uneven season for the Longhorns. Charlie Strong all year has been on the hot seat. Whether you agree with that or not, it's true. He's been on the hot seat all the time. So they got a big win over number eight, unbeaten at the time, Baylor. And number eight last week, obviously, we're about to have, you know, tomorrow about to have the new rankings. So the new AP poll and coaches poll really, it matters to an extent, but not really. So we won't get into the specifics when it comes to that. But the Longhorns, they've been playing really tight to some really quality opponents. They've definitely shown their worth. They just will make a mistake here, make a mistake there. They still can't really stop anyone on defense. They gave up a ton of rushing yards. But they got the win here. And that's really all that matters. And that's one thing that Charlie Strong last year was Oklahoma. He's been able to get that big win, you know. So we'll see if they can sustain it like they did last year and close pretty strong. Either way, it started out like, you know, what we thought it would possibly be. Texas can score this year. We know Baylor always comes into it every season being able to score. Of course, you know, they've been doing more ground and pound. That's exactly what they did, racked up a bunch of yards on Texas defense, which, you know, isn't that hard to do this year. But they scored a combined 28 points in the first quarter. But then the defense has followed up on both sides, and it created drama down the stretch. In fact, in the fourth quarter, under 9 minutes to play, Texas trailed 34-26. They scored a touchdown, and they end up rallying all the way for a 39-yard field goal with 46 seconds remaining. And like I said, they needed that. Deontay Foreman, he rushed for 250 and 32 carries. Did a little Heisman pose. Not sure about that one. Not that he's not a solid player and hasn't had a great year. He obviously splits time with another back that's very good that hasn't been playing. So he stepped up to it. But it is kind of funny to put up the Heisman. And, you know, you're on a team that you're not going to win the Heisman, just so you know. But good win there. And like I said, we'll see, you know, what happens. We'll see if Charlie Strong can rally the troops for the rest of the year. Who knows? Nebraska. right? They came in unbeaten. They were number 7th, I think. Yep, all the way up to number 7. They came into Camp Randall, which, as we know, is a tough place to play. Just ask Ohio State from 2 weeks ago. But they were – Wisconsin technically was the favorite because Nebraska, they played a lot of tight games. They've gotten some decent wins, but nothing really stood out. So we were wondering, you know, what do they have here, right? It wasn't pretty, by no means on offense, right, for either team, but especially Wisconsin. Didn't get a ton out of the quarterback play. He's been kind of up and down, but he's a redshirt freshman. That's going to happen. Wisconsin had a little bit of a lead, right? They started putting things together, started getting at least their run game going, which is always key for them. The last couple of weeks, you can see that's amped up. Nebraska actually in the final frame scored 10 points. They tied it to go into overtime. Now, Wisconsin on the first possession, they got the ball. They scored a touchdown, but they missed an extra point. And that could have obviously proved very costly. Now, it didn't turn out to, but could you imagine if Nebraska would have scored? And this is what happened once they got the ball back. It was a fourth down, right, and long. They could have got a first down. I don't think it was fourth and goal, but could have got a first down. It was like fourth and 16 or something like that. Tommy Armstrong Jr. had a guy open. The wide receiver had a step. However, Armstrong was forced outside of the pocket, so just that little delay made it late on the throw. The Wisconsin defender made a great play, knocked it down, and thus ended the game. Like I mentioned, the Badgers did pound the rock, 223 total, so it does look like they're starting to get their groove on because, you know, they haven't looked the part as a running team. In fact, sometimes that quarterback who, you know, makes mistakes sometimes, you know, he's still coming along, but, man, he's at times he'll really they'll really air it out with him. So, Wisconsin, you know, like I said, they were the favorite, and they got it done, but it was a great, great game. And speaking of great games, Clemson, number 3 Clemson, slithers out of Tallahassee with a win. You know, in the Dabo Sweeney, era, he's been pretty damn solid as a coach, obviously. Got him to the national title game last year. Put that Clemsoning moniker that they had when they would choke, you know, games undefeated, maybe 6-7-0, getting highly rated, and then they lose to someone they shouldn't. Well, they had never, under the Sweeney era, they had never won in Doak Campbell Stadium. So that was big. That was huge. This was the primetime game, and like I said, this thing was entertaining. Clemson started fast, got up 14-0, kind of looked the part like, okay, you know, what are we going to do? Is Florida State, is their defense just going to look that crappy? You know, because it has most of the year. Beyond when they played Miami, second half, they definitely tightened up. But they have some injuries, but still, they're young and all that, but they just haven't played up to their potential, not even close to their potential, if you look at the talent, right? However, Florida State came back. They stormed back and actually took a lead, 28-20. There were some long yardage runs by Dalvin Cook by, 43-70. And one of the runs he had later in that game got taken back, and we'll talk about that in a second. The Tigers, though, outscored the Seminoles 17-6 in the fourth quarter. They rode their star quarterback, Deshaun Watson, to the finish line. Watson finished. He accounted for 440 total yards and 2 touchdowns. And like I mentioned, there was a run, a long, long run, that obviously Florida State wanted. Jimbo Fisher, head coach there, he was pissed after. He let it be known. And they called a chop block, basically going too low. And here's the deal. It wasn't a chop block because he actually didn't take him out that low. However, it was a trip. And he didn't trip with his leg, which is sometimes you see it, but he did get his hand out. Or was it? Yeah, I think he got his hand out. Either way, he actually tripped the blocker. So Fisher might be pissed at, you know, the ref saying he went low and that's cool, you know. But other than that, he did actually trip him. So to me, and sometimes when you haven't seen the tape, you know, I think they got the call wrong. It was just tripping, which that's wrong too. So that took it back. But either way, Clemson got it done, pulled off a really fun comeback for them too. That was a great game, especially coming out so strong. Speaking of a great game, didn't think it would be Virginia, right? At Virginia, not a tough place to play per se, but this is college football, like I mentioned at the top of the show. Louisville, number 5 at the time, needed late game dramatics to get it done. It was a road scare hugely, 32-25. Like I mentioned, Virginia was a scrappy club, man. They just wouldn't go away. In fact, in the fourth quarter, they were up 17-14, and then midway through, they took the lead back in that fourth quarter, 25-24. Lamar Jackson, though, the leader of the pack when it comes to the Heisman race, I'm not saying it's not close, but it's not close. Let's put it that way. With they're driving the field, right? And you're thinking, okay, they're going to probably line up for the field goal here and try to end things, right? No, that's not the case. They went for it, man. They had a gutsy pass. 13 seconds on the clock, 29-yard touchdown to Jalen Smith. Put the nail in the coffin. And Jackson, this guy is just a stat stuffer. 361 yards passing, 88 yards on the ground, 4 TDs all around. And Louisville, you know, that Houston game now is not going to mean as much as it looked like about a month ago. But still, they are lingering. Ohio State has a better matchup to be able to beat Michigan at the time. And now that Florida State, you know, didn't beat Clemson, that kind of hurts Louisville. But they do have a chance, an outside chance still. It's still, even though it's past the midway point, as we know in the regular season, it's always early. There's still plenty to happen. So they are clinging, right? Now, here's a marquee matchup in the Pac-12. The last couple of weeks, most of the big games beyond Ohio State and Wisconsin and the Big Ten, a couple other games, you know, out there. But really, the SEC the last 2 weeks, week 7 and week 8, it kind of had the floor, right? They kind of had the focus of the nation now. But they took over the floor, the Pac-12 this week, the Big Ten, and the Big 12. As well. They took over the floor, though. Finally, the Big 12 got a big game. Number 4 proved its worth, really, in a close win at number 17, Utah. The first quarter, though, it kind of came out, not that I thought this would be a game in the 40s, but, and I don't mean over-under, I mean, you know, both of them. But it started out pretty defensive-minded. It had that style. Then the Huskies got on the board, got up 14-0. Utah managed to claw their way back, though, making it 14-10 at the break. Washington was up. They traded scores, right, took turns in the second half. And here we were, Pac-12 afternoon on FS1, wasn't on Fox, you know, but it was still on FS1. At least it wasn't on the Pac-12 network, so we couldn't really see it. But the contest was still hanging in the balance late in this game. With a little over 3 minutes left, Washington sealed the deal. Mitch Wisnowski, which I'm assuming is Polish, right? All the skis at the end. This guy takes a 55-yard punt return and seals the deal for Washington. The Huskies move on 8-0 with this 31-24 win. And they are the real deal. They did it with special teams. They did it defensively, caused some turnovers, and obviously their offense is pretty damn solid as well. The quarterback, Jake Browning, he didn't have a great game. This was kind of his, in my mind. Like I said, there's plenty to go around. And when they're unbeaten, you know, he'll get the invite to the Heisman, you know, race. But or the announcement, I should say, not the race, but he'll get the invite more than likely. They'd have to really drop 3 games in a row or something like that. But he didn't have a great game. It was pretty evenly matched. And like I said, I mean, 24-24, and that was it. That punt return was it. Another unbeaten team, West Virginia, came in looking sharp, coming off a great performance against, who was it, TCU? They played their best all-purpose game, I'd say, last week. And it looked as though the defense had caught up with the potent offense, right? And it was just the opposite with Oklahoma State. They could score with the best of them. They got a solid quarterback. James Washington is just a – he produces numbers week in and week out. Got over 100 this week as well. And Rudolph still performed. He had 3 touchdowns, 273 in the air. However, it wasn't enough. And Oklahoma State played defense. The Cowboys showed up in a major way on the defensive end at the half. It was 20-10. In West Virginia, they mounted a comeback of sorts, but it wasn't going to be enough, man. They fell short, first loss of the season. And the turnovers giving the by the defense giving the Cowboys, you know, good field position opportunities, that was the difference. It was very impressive, very, very impressive. Just a quick little recap on the rest of the top 25. Some surprises, Tennessee, which they now lost 3 in a row, and Jared Hurd, their running back, is going to transfer. Just some news that came up today. They lost. They went down. South Carolina gets their first signature victory probably in like 2 years. But like I said, struggling Tennessee team, but 24-21, all over the place for them, man. Starting red hot, what were they, 6-0? Now they've gone downhill. Now the, you know, A&M and Alabama, that's, you can't really look at that as a big deal, like they lost, like that was garbage or nothing like that. Penn State in the second half dominated Purdue 62-24. Just kind of going through the rest of the top 25. Oklahoma State, no problem. Pummels Kansas, 56-3. Florida handles SEC foe Georgia, 24-10. And now that Tennessee has gone down, now they're in cruise control. They have control of their path to that SEC championship to likely meet Alabama, but you never know. What else we got? Oh, yeah, Auburn, back-and-forth game with Ole Miss and Auburn. Ole Miss at the point where they don't really have anything to lose. You know what I mean? And to me, that's a dangerous team still to play. Auburn, though, pulled away later in the game, 40-29. Wyoming pulled off a huge program win. I don't think they've beaten Boise State in most of the games. You know, I looked at this game a couple weeks back. I thought Boise State could lose. But they didn't. They played very well, you know, snuck by a week ago. Who was it? BYU, 28-27. But on a safety of all things, right? Near the end of the game, a safety wins the game. 30-28, Wyoming gets it done. Ohio State, though, it was, what was it, 24-I can't remember. They were up. And it looked like they had not control of the game by any stretch, but it looked like, okay, you know, they're gonna pull away there. They're gonna pull away. That's similar to the Penn State game. But Northwestern made it a closer than expected game, 24-20. And you know, I look at it kind of both ways. I will say this: Northwestern is playing better than they were last year, and even early this year, they do look like they got their groove back, so to speak. But still, I mean, Ohio State, they were at home, and they struggled. They did struggle on offense. They're not that. Barrett's still playing pretty good. He had a good game, but the offensive line, it's not clicking all the way. And we'll see, you know, what happens with them. Obviously, they got some big games coming up this week. They got to play Nebraska, who's coming off their first loss in overtime, and of course, they got Michigan still on the schedule. So be interesting to see how this still inexperienced young club that we thought gained a lot more experience with that win against Wisconsin. They're struggling on the offensive line, man. They're not playing up to their potential. Navy falls 52-45, I believe. against University of South Florida. And a great game. This is really no surprise here. Virginia Tech ranked in the top 25. They beat Pitt 39-36. Here's the story, though. I mean, they're not known for – I stuttered there. I don't know what happened there. I kind of froze. They're not known for Virginia Tech to throw the ball around, right? They get you with defense, right? Longtime defensive coordinator there, and they run the you-know-what out of the ball. That's what they're known for. But this week, they threw the crap out of the ball. I almost said the word I didn't want to say, but they threw the ball. They had three different wide receivers with 100-plus yards. They got it done 39-36. My Gophers stomped on the road, Illinois, got a good win. Miami goes down to Notre Dame in what looked to be a blowout. Then they came storming back, ended up losing. Miami's struggling, no doubt about it now. USC got a good win last Thursday, 45-24. They got some big games coming up. That could get interesting. The Pac-12 could get heated up now. Washington, it's not just a cakewalk. They still have Washington State. They still have USC. They still have some teams to conquer still. And you know, who knows? We'll see what happens. What else do I got for you guys real quick before I get out of here? There were some games that looked to be blowouts, and then teams would come flying back like Georgia Tech and Duke. Now, Georgia Tech won the game 38-35, but they were up big, and Duke came back. There was another game like that. I'm missing it. It wasn't just a Miami. It was another one. A great game, though, Texas Tech. 27-24 in double overtime, beat TCU. That was a fun game. Mahomes got in the end zone there. Other than that, let's see. I think that about wraps it up. Like I said, we'll be back next Thursday. Or not next Thursday, this Thursday. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Me and Marshall will get our take here on the top four teams in the college football playoff rankings, the first one tomorrow. And we'll also debate a few things. I'll get his take on the week 9, see what he thinks out of all the games. I know he had his eyes peeled to several games last Saturday. And, of course, we'll look at next week. LSU and Bama play, right? Bama has to travel to Death Valley where all the dreams come to an end. That's where the dreams come to die. That's what it's known for. And LSU is playing inspired ball now. Now, offensively, I don't know. they're going to have to take advantage of play action and get those wide receivers, involved, obviously. So that's a big game. There are some big games and some games kind of flying under the radar that we'll get to as well. I mentioned Nebraska and Ohio State. To name a few, but we'll get in there. Anyway, you can check out the Rope and Dope Radio podcast at blogtalkradio.com/Rope and Dope Radio. We're also on iTunes, both the Rope and Dope Radio Boxing and the College Ball Show, which covers, football and basketball, and then later in the year, NBA playoffs and all that, draft and free agency and all that. That's available on iTunes as well. You can subscribe. You can download it there as well. It's archived and live stream at Blog Talk Radio. But just search under Rope-A-Dope Radio on iTunes, and that'll get you there. You can follow me on Twitter as well. Anyway, we'll be back later in the week. All right?